Greetings, greetings, my dear and wonderful sisters and brothers of the human family. My dear and wonderful sisters and brothers of the Uhuru family. This is Deacon Christopher Frazier. I am your minister of information. This is thinkaboutit.org, the Mind of God program. Today's recording date is Sunday, June the 5th, 2011. And on the Mind of God program, we endeavor to climb up out of the mind of the wicked ruling class and ruling families. We endeavor and desire to climb up out of the mind of the House of Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers and the wicked ruling class and ruling families of this wicked world order. We want to climb up out of the mind of Satan and climb up into the mind of Christ, the mind of God, the mind of the Elohim, the gods and the goddesses, the angels, the children of the Most High. The mind of our revolutionary leaders like Geronimo Pratt and others who led us into this thought process so that we may find ourselves organizing for freedom, justice, and equality, the kingdom of God in heaven right here, right now, on this earth. And we are ready, willing, and able to ally ourselves with any political, revolutionary institution, religious institution, and organization that is of like mind. My beautiful sister, Venice, is my producer, helper, facilitator, engineer, coordinator of this website. And I'm thankful for her, and I pray the blessings of the Most High on her children and her family. And you may contact me by emailing yahlove@comcast.net. And as we always do, let us pause and give thanks and praises unto the Most High Creator and the Most High Creatress. We give praises unto the Most High Father, the Almighty Creator. In the African Hebrew language, the Father is known as Abba. In the African Arabic language, the name of the Father is Allah, spelled A-L-L-A-H. In Egypt, our African ancestors referred to the Father as Amen, the hidden and unseen Father. In the tradition of the indigenous peoples of the Western Hemisphere, referred to as natives of the Americas, the Most High Father is known as the Great and the Grand Father. In, we also give praises unto our Most High Beautiful Mother, the Holy Spirit, the Almighty Creatress. She, Mother, Holy Spirit, is referred to in the book of Proverbs in the feminine and given the feminine title of wisdom. That word wisdom in the African Hebrew language is chokmah. And it is a feminine word referring to a feminine entity In this case, our wonderful and beautiful mother, the Holy Spirit. In the Living Bible translation of St. Matthew, chapter 1 and verses 19 and 20, we learn that she, our beautiful mother, the Holy Spirit, conceived Jesus. It is only the mother that conceives. Therefore, Holy Spirit is our mother. Now, Mother Holy Spirit is not only the mother of Jesus, but she is your and my mother as well. Mother of creation, mother of universe, mother of the human family. In the African Hebrew language, the name and title of our mother, the Holy Spirit, are Ruach HaKadosh. In the African Hebrew language, the word Ruach is the word for spirit. That word spirit found under the number 7307 on the Hebrew side of your Strong's Hebrew Greek dictionary is a feminine word referring to a feminine entity. In the African Arabic language, the name of our mother Holy Spirit is Illa, spell I-L-L-A-H. And our wonderful and beautiful Islamic sisters and brothers say Ashadu illa ilaha il Allah. And you hear Illa and you hear Allah. For Illa and Allah have come together to give birth to the whole of creation, the whole of the universe. This is translated traditionally as there is no God but God, or no God but Allah. But we know that this means there is none but our mother, Illa, and our father, Allah. For without them, there's no life and no birth. In Egypt, Mother Holy Spirit is known as Amenet, the hidden and unseen mother. In the tradition of the indigenous peoples of the Western Hemisphere, Mother Holy Spirit is known as the great and the grandmother. So I greet you, my sisters and brothers of the human family, my dear and wonderful sisters and brothers of the Uhuru family, in the name and title of our Lord and Savior, the Black African Revolutionary Hebrew Messiah, Jesus the Christ. In the African Hebrew language, his name and title are Yahshua HaMashiach. And believe it or not, sisters and brothers, but Christ, Jah, Yahshua, has this day been revealed and manifested in the personality of His Imperial Majesty, Emperor Haile I Selassie I, Jah Rastafari of Ethiopia, the 225th king in the 3,000-year-old Solomonic dynasty. Emperor Haile I Selassie I, Rastafari, was crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the conquering lion of the tribe of Judah in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, November 2nd, 1930. So I say Jah Rastafari, Haile I, Selassie I, as Jesus Christ's new names in these last days of judgment in Babylon. Who is the I in Haile I, Selassie I, Rastafari? It is you and me. You and me are the I and I. The first I refers to the self, the original self, united with the Most High Creator, Father, and the Most High Creatress, Mother. The second I refers to the human family outside of yourself, united with creation, united with the Most High Father and the Most High Mother, and all in unison, I and I, one creation, one I and I. This is to teach us that Christ desires to be revealed and manifested within your, my, our personalities. Because all of us are divine manifestations of divinity, living in this divine universe, in this divine creation, in this divine physical realm, on this divine physical planet that we call Earth, in this divine physical house that we call our physical bodies. Thereby, this knowledge makes all of us to understand that our names are the new names of Jesus Christ. In fulfillment of the book of Revelation chapter 3 and verses 12 and verse 12, which teaches us that Christ in the last days would come. In the revolutionaries, in the true Christians, those lovers of justice, freedom, and equality, those who have the spirit to rise up and deliver the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed. In Christ would manifest in those who have the spirit to break the synagogue of Satan. This is that day. This is that time. This is the resurrection of the spiritual, mental, moral, and physical dead. We are they who were once dead but are rising up with that spirit of Christ. So we give praises for the prayer. And we are yet in the book of Revelation. This is Revelation time. My good brethren, Stephen Marley has a record, CD, Book of Revelation Part 1. This is Revelation time. These are the last days of judgment in Babylon. These are the last days of this wicked, no good, rotten system. These are the last days of the empire, the United States of North America empire, the British empire, the Roman empire, the European empire, the imposter state of Israel empire. All empire days are done. It's the time now for the kingdom of God in heaven, right here, right now on this earth, coming through I and I in this time. So we want to look at some current affairs and events through the eyes of Christ, through the eyes of Yahshua Mashiach, the Messiah. And the book of Revelation is called the testimony or the revelation of Jesus Christ. Revelation coming from the Greek word apokalypsos, giving us our English word apocalypse, which has the meaning that is the same as revelation, carries the meaning of to uncover the truth, remove the falsehood of this wicked, rotten system, so that we may understand how to organize and stand up for freedom, justice, and equality, organize and break the kingdom of Satan, the synagogue of Satan. And so we want to look at some current affairs, but before we get started with current affairs, let me say, our brother Geronimo Pratt, Geronimo G. Jagger Pratt, who in the, it was early to mid 70s, was framed with the killing of two Caucasian human beings. I believe it was a married couple, male and female. Geronimo Pratt was framed for that killing. I believe it took place in San Diego, Southern California. The FBI knew that Geronimo Pratt was not in the vicinity to have killed those the sister and brother, Caucasian sister and brother. The FBI tapping the Black Panther Party, keeping tabs on them, infiltrating the Black Panther Party, tapping the phones. They knew Geronimo Pratt was innocent. The Fraternal Order of the Police knew Geronimo Pratt was innocent. And they framed Geronimo Pratt, put him in jail because he was a threat. A threat to the system. He had been in the military of the United States of North America and used that military training to help train the sisters and brothers in the Black Panther Party for self-defense. And that means Black Panther Party to defend oneself against the brutality of the Fraternal Order of the Police. And so Geronimo Pratt was a threat, so they framed Geronimo Pratt. FBI, Fraternal Order of the Police, the wicked, no good, rotten, ruling class and ruling families of the United States of North America Empire, put Geronimo Pratt in jail for, I believe, 25 years. Our other beautiful brother, Johnny Cochran, worked for 20 some odd years to get Geronimo Pratt out of jail, and finally got Geronimo out of jail. And although Johnny Cochran worked to help O.J. Simpson, when asked what was his proudest moment as an attorney, he didn't say O.J. Simpson. Johnny Cochran said his work on behalf of Geronimo Pratt. Well, our brother Geronimo Pratt has gone from the physical world, has made his transition into the spirit world. He is with our ancestors now, giving us guidance on the right path and showing us how to continue to reveal the truth of this wicked Babylon system, remove the falsehood so that we may organize and break the synagogue of Satan. So we thank the Most High for the example of Geronimo Pratt. And current affairs. Democracy Now. Covered the return of Manuel Zelaya to Honduras. You will recall that in 2009, under President Barack Hussein Obama, the United States of North America, the State Department, the CIA, and FBI too, and other departments of the United States of North America Empire administered a coup in 2009, June 28th, against Manuel Zelaya, the duly democratically elected president of Honduras, a nation in South America. Manuel Zelaya was kidnapped at gunpoint and put on a plane to Costa Rica, stopping for fuel in Palmerola, the United States military base in Honduras. And this coup took place, and Manuel Zelaya was exiled. And for a time, he came back into Honduras and stayed, I believe, at the embassy of Venezuela. I believe it was the Venezuelan embassy. And he could not move from that embassy. His life was threatened by CIA forces. Those forces in Honduras who were trained by the CIA at the School of Americas to go back into their nation, Honduras, and administer coups and destroy the hopes of the people. Manuel Zelaya wanted to be a friend of Fidel Castro, wanted to be a friend of Hugo Chavez of Venezuela, wanted to do certain things that would help the people. But the United States of North America, the Empire of the United States of North America, the CIA, the FBI, the powers, ruling class and ruling families of the United States of North America, who dictate to Obama what to do, did not like Manuel Zelaya and administered a coup. The police, Honduran police, went up into Zelaya's house and shot up the house and kidnapped him at gunpoint. And so he's returned to Honduras, and the people are happy. And he, Manuel Zelaya, wants to head a third force movement to give rights to the people that the people deserve, but the people in power do not want that to happen. And so Manuel Zelaya made his return to Honduras this past week. And I am thankful that he has returned safe. His wife is safe. His children are safe and alive. And we are thankful for that. And we pray that he does right by his people, and that he is successful in leading a movement or helping to spear a movement. It is said that his wife may run for president. If she runs, I pray that she's successful in remaining true to the people. We want the people to be free. We want the kingdom of God in heaven right here, right now, on this earth. And we will not sell out to the CIA or any force, no matter if they have a black president, brown president, red, yellow, or white. We will not sell out the aspirations of the people. Manuel Zelaya said the conspiracy began when I started to join what is ALBA, the Latin American Nations with Bolivarian Alternative. So a dirty, this is Manuel Zelaya speaking about the coup. So a dirty war at the psychological level was carried out against me. You see, they began, the CIA and those wicked devils and forces began to spread false information that Zelaya was a quote-unquote communist. Doesn't have anything to do with communism per se. The man was for the people. If that's communism, so be it. But you know that word is used to cause fear. And we're going to work on that word fear today, because the Most High has not given us the spirit of fear. And so the CIA and those wicked forces on behalf of the Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers began to make the people to fear, to try to wage a psychological warfare against Zelaya. Otto Reich started this. The Under Secretary of State, Roger Noriega, Robert Carmona, and the Arcadia Foundation created by the CIA associated themselves with the right wing, the military groups, and they formed a conspiracy. This is Zelaya naming names and organizations created by the CIA that we look at and think it's a benevolent organization, but in reality, it's an organization created to administer coups and conspire against those who have the people's interest at heart. Zelaya talking again. They argued that I was a communist and that I was attacking the security of the hemisphere because I'm a friend of Fidel, I'm a friend of Chavez, and I had declared my government as a government which is progressive. And so the coup was administered. And he's back home. Now, another individual that was interviewed by Democracy Now!, Adrian Pine. Now, this is interesting. First, let me pause and say, this is Deacon Christopher Frazier. I am your Minister of Information. And you are listening to thinkaboutit.org. This is the Mind of God program. Today's recording date is Sunday, June 5th, 2011. Now, Adrian Pine, what was her position? An American university professor who has worked extensively in Honduras says that the country is no closer to reconciliation than it was in the months following the 2009 coup. What she's letting Democracy Now! Know is that the power of Lobo, the Lobo administration, is now in power in Honduras. And this individual, Lobo, I don't know his first name, but his last name is Lobo. CIA man, the man that was chosen by the CIA, chosen by the United States of North America empire, ruling class and ruling families, Barack Hussein Obama president, Hillary Clinton secretary of state, on behalf of the Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers, chose Lobo and the Lobo administration. This man is yet persecuting activists, yet doing that which is detrimental to the people. He's attacking, Lobo is attacking the unions, attacking workers. Now, what's interesting is that Adrian Pine revealed that in between 2009, when Lobo was administered into power by, or emplaced into power by the CIA, this man Lobo traveled to New Orleans to study what happened in New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina. Lobo, wanting to continue to do the bidding of the ruling class and ruling families and destroy unions and whatnot, saw how the wicked powers in the United States of North America destroyed the teachers' union in New Orleans and privatized the school system in New Orleans, and saw how that whole construct was constructed, how that whole plan was constructed, and took that plan back to Honduras to continue to destroy teachers' unions, and I'm sure destroy other unions, because why? Unions are a threat to wicked powers. Unions organize workers, and the majority of the masses are working people, working class, poor working people in working class. And so it is from the unions in a lot of cases that the threat comes from. So wicked powers destroy unions. Is that not what is occurring in the United States of North America? You see the attack on unions all over. You see, this is how we can understand that all of these events are connected. I work at a UAW facility, a member of the United Auto Workers, and some of us may say, what does the coup in Honduras have to do with us? Well, once again, the attack on unions, the Lobo administration, Lobo, CIA man, on behalf of the House of Rothschilds and Oppenheimers and wicked ruling class and ruling families of the United States of North America, Europe, and Israel, wanting to destroy unions in his country, nation, Honduras, comes to America, New Orleans, to study how the teachers' union was destroyed in New Orleans and how the school system has been privatized. Because the move is to privatize all that the people need to live. Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, school system, education, so on and so forth. And so he takes that knowledge back to Honduras to continue to facilitate the destruction of unions and workers and poor people. All of it is connected. We're fighting the same common wicked enemy. The House of Rothschilds, the Oppenheimers, the wicked ruling class and ruling families of this wicked world order have control over the governments of this earth, the prime ministers and presidents and heads of state, heads of government, financial and educational institutions, and are implementing their plan of destruction of organizations, unions, and workers and poor workers and so on. But it's too late. The second coming of Christ is here and is manifesting, and we will break the synagogue of Satan. We don't preach from the spirit of defeatism. We preach from the spirit of victory. We are victorious here and now. The kingdom of God in heaven right here, right now on this earth. More issues. NATO strikes hit Tripoli. NATO continues to bomb the Libyan capital of Tripoli in the international military campaign against Colonel Muammar Gaddafi. And sisters and brothers, let's see, NATO has carried out 10 attacks earlier today. That was Friday, I believe, June the 3rd. 10 military attacks. The airstrikes came hours after NATO extended its mandate to bomb Libya for another 90 days. Sisters and brothers, this is so wicked and so evil that the House of Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers would use this beautiful black man, Barack Hussein Obama, to carry out a bombing campaign in Africa, NATO, UNICOM, to establish a central bank in Libya, Muammar Gaddafi, using the revenue of the oil and resources for the people. This is going to stop if NATO is successful in wresting power from Muammar Gaddafi. They have already set up a central bank, meaning the CIA, NATO, and so on. The Al-Qaeda rebels, you didn't know that. Those so-called rebels are Al-Qaeda, because Al-Qaeda was created by the CIA to work on behalf of the wicked ruling class and families. So these wicked forces have established a central bank and established an oil company to take the oil wealth and just give it to Europe, give it to France, give it to, I guess, Italy and America and so on, mainly Europe. And the people go without the benefit of those resources. We have to be against that. Farrakhan, my minister, Louis Farrakhan, has been speaking this reality and truth. He spoke just recently in New York and said that Barack Obama has become an assassin on behalf of the wicked ruling class and ruling families, and my minister Farrakhan is right. The next issue, alleged Libyan rape victim deported from Qatar. And you will recall that there was a lady who accused the soldiers of Muammar Gaddafi of raping her. And what caught my ear, now we are not for rape, we want to see women free. But this lady is from Benghazi. What's her name? Iman Obeidi. She is from Benghazi. Benghazi is where Al-Qaeda is, where the CIA is, where Britain's MI5 and 6 are located, Canada's Special Ops Forces, France's Special Ops Forces. She came from that region. I said, I wonder, is she a plant? Recall that in the 90s, when George Herbert Walker Bush wanted to invade Iraq, and after Iraq had gone into Kuwait, a little girl from Kuwait said that the Iraqi soldiers took babies off of incubators and threw them on the floor to die. And we learned later that that little young lady was a daughter of a Kuwaiti ambassador, and that she was coached by one of these coaching companies to lie before Congress and cause us to support wicked actions to destroy human beings and to invade Iraq and take the land, the wealth, the resources, and think we are supporting justice and equality. So this lady looks to be the same type of plant by the CIA, British, MI5 and 6, Israel, Mossad, all of those wicked forces. So we have to be wise and look behind the news. Clashes continue in Yemeni capital. Violence continues to engulf the Yemeni capital of Sana'a in the ongoing standoff over President Ali Abdullah Saleh's refusal to step down. Yemeni forces reportedly fired on crowds of protesters today following an earlier round of shootings on Thursday. Street battles, meanwhile, are continuing between Saleh's forces and anti-government tribal groups. 135 people have been killed in Sana'a in the past 10 days. We see unrest in the people. We see that there's dissatisfaction among the people. But we know that the CIA can create a revolution or infiltrate a revolution and spin a revolution. William Bloom's book, Killing Hope, CIA and United States Military Interventions Since World War II, teaches us how the CIA and the wicked forces and powers can infiltrate, spin, or create a revolution. Now, there's dissatisfaction in Yemen. I would love for Saleh not to shoot demonstrators. But is he looking at the CIA infiltrating a movement to overturn his government? How would he react? Is that what is going on? And I believe there's a military base in Yemen that is being protected by the United States of North America Empire. So you see, the United States of North America Empire can play both sides. In Libya, they want to kill Muammar Gaddafi. But in Yemen, Ali Abdullah Saleh has been doing the bidding of the United States of North America Empire. So they don't really want him out. But is it beneficial for the United States of North America Empire to infiltrate the student uprisings in Yemen and get the man out and put in someone who would do even better concerning the bidding of the United States of North America Empire? Because what we're looking at is the movement in Africa and the Middle East, they want to control it. And the United States of North America Empire, House of Rothschilds, Oppenheimers, are afraid as to who will rise up and take power. Will these new potential new leaders come up and say, get rid of IMF, get rid of WPO, get rid of these wicked forces? So, on the one hand, they want Saleh in, but on the other hand, the CIA and so on may want him out. So we have to be very wise when we listen to the news. 23 civilians reported dead in Syria. Government attacks. Syrian forces are being accused of killing more civilians in the ongoing crackdown on protests challenging President Bashar Assad. Now, this is interesting here as well, because I've heard that there are business forces, business interests, business people, business men in Syria fomenting unrest so that business interests can take power against Assad. And these business interests would be business interests that are working on behalf of the United States of North America Empire, the House of Rothschilds, and the Oppenheimers. And so we would hope that Assad would go before the world and reveal this truth and not shoot and kill demonstrators. But in this world, when a leader is threatened by an outside force, this is the type of reaction that you get. But we would hope that these leaders who are fighting CIA would come out and reveal it. Muammar Gaddafi said it openly, CIA is here, Al-Qaeda is here. But the media wouldn't cover it correctly, so many people don't know that in Libya, it's the CIA, Special Forces of France, Canada, Britain, and so on, that are uniting and organizing Al-Qaeda to overthrow Muammar Gaddafi. E. coli strain could be deadliest. Bacterium would be legal in the United States. Let's see. World Health Organization is warning that a strain of E. coli that has killed 17 people and sickened nearly 2,000 more in Europe may be the deadliest ever seen. The bacterium is believed to be a mutant combination of two different strains. According to the Washington Post, the bacterium that has caused the deaths would be legal in the United States if discovered on meat or poultry because of a regulatory oversight. That means there will be no way to prevent an outbreak were the strain to contaminate fruits and vegetables. Look at this, sisters and brothers. These forces, such as those forces in the United States of North America that are supposed to monitor food, what would it be, Center for Disease Control? Those forces have some sort of oversight. Due to some sort of oversight, what that E. coli that is killing people in Europe, if found in America, would be legal. That is just, you know, very unsettling. Because I'm always suspicious of all of a sudden some disease, E. coli, breaking out in food and killing a bunch of people. Because we know that the House of Rothschilds are wicked. Oppenheimers are wicked. Ruling class, ruling families are wicked. They want to kill off people and take land, wealth, and resources. So we have to be diligent, vigilant, and suspicious of things like this going on. United States to probe hacking email accounts. The Obama administration says it has launched an investigation following news of a cyber attack against Google users originating in China. Google says hackers in China tried to break into the Gmail accounts of hundreds of people, including senior United States government officials. White House Press Secretary Jay Carney said the FBI is examining the case. Now, from my brother Webster Tarpley, he has talked about how Google, working with the CIA and the FBI, targeting a particular group in China that the CIA does not like, whatever group this is in China that is being accused of hacking Google, let's see, hacking Google users, right? This group, whatever the name of this group is being targeted by the wicked forces of the United States of North America, House of Rothschilds and Oppenheimers. And so Webster Tarpley is cautioning us to view this information with a critical eye, because we know that certain forces are afraid of China, but we also know that China is doing the bidding of the House of Rothschilds by buying the debt of the United States of North America. So you have the dollar issue, you have the debt issue going on. You have the House of Rothschilds always doing things to consolidate power. You have the idea of the internet and attacks on the internet now being declared an act of war by the Obama administration. And so we see that the fear tactic of using potential trouble on the internet can be used to justify that which was already planned, like has always been done by these wicked forces. Let's see. Yeah, let me read this to you. Pentagon says cyber attacks could constitute act of war. The probe follows recent news that the Pentagon has determined cyber attacks generated abroad may now constitute an act of war. According to the Wall Street Journal, the Pentagon's first ever cyber strategy says attempts to sabotage the nation's electricity grid, subways, or pipelines could be met with military force. The decision is expected to stir debate about whether the United States can ever be certain about the origin of a cyber attack and when the severity of attack constitutes an act of war. What is being done is that they want to use anything as an act of war, to use any issue as an issue in which they can declare an act of war and justify false flag operations, justify military interventions and strikes all over the earth, inside and outside the United States of North America. Let me go over this one last issue before our first break. Panel, War on Drugs, a Failure. A high-level international panel has concluded the so-called war on drugs has failed and that governments should consider legalizing substances, including marijuana. The Global Commission on Drug Policy is comprised of 19 members, including several former heads of state. Now, the point I want to make on this is that, according to our beautiful sister, Michelle Alexander, who wrote the book, New Jim Crow, she reveals that this whole war on drugs was only a move to further control of black people in general, black youth in particular. Slavery controlled black man and woman. Jim Crow controlled black man and woman. And war on drugs and the prison industrial complex is a reworking of that old mindset to continue to control the black man and woman, because we are the Hebrews and the threat will come from us. We are they who will facilitate the kingdom of God in heaven right here, right now on this earth. And that is a threat to the powers. And that is why we have been targeted. And it has been a failure, but it has not been a failure, the war on drugs, because the war on drugs was successful in that it was planned to jail and incarcerate countless millions of black people. We make up 50, 60, 70, 80% of the jail population, prison population, and we only 12%, if that, in the population of the United States of North America. We're taking our first break. I will see you on the other side of the break.